Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to the Runner's World podcast with me, Rick Pearson.
And me, Ben Hobson.
Today we're talking about how to run your best half marathon with running coach Lloyd Kempson.
He's got some great tips.
He's actually got some amazing tips. I learned loads, I have to say.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I feel way more educated. Ability-wise, we'll see what happens, but I certainly feel more mentally aware now of what needs to get done.
Well, that's it, isn't it? Because we've got the big half, Ben, in September, so we needed to talk to Lloyd, but hopefully it's going to be of interest to other people listening as well.
Oh, yeah. Wait, so what we've done is we've selfishly taken our own race agendas and formatted the podcast around it, but it's not Lloyd talking about how me and Rick should run it. It's Lloyd talking about how everyone should approach a half marathon in many, many different ways. So it's a great chat.
Yeah, and I think when we do our sort of extensive research at Run As Well, as we often do, I think that I'm right in thinking that the most popular distances that come back are always the half marathon and the 10K and then the marathon. So it's obviously like, it's a sort of sweet spot for people, isn't it? Because as Lloyd alludes to, it doesn't necessarily have to take over your life. There's lots of ways to slice and dice it in a way that possibly there isn't with the marathon training. And also if you're kind of coming to this not as a complete beginner, you know, you could do it in 8 weeks. So a couple of months away from a really good half marathon. That all those things make it quite an appealing distance, I think.
It's the time thing. The time thing for me, Rick. Not having to do like those huge, like big loaded runs at the weekends and stuff like that. That's why I think it's a good distance. But yeah, some good stuff coming up. How's life, Rick? How's your running going since the arrival of Mini Pearson number two?
Yeah, father of two now. There's been a little bit of running. So I'm doing what a lot of parents do, I guess, is just fitting it round any little window I can get. So for me, it's kind of tends to be in the morning after nursery drop off is I get a little chance to run around the park, which is great. And it's a hilly park and it's a kind of 5K loop. So it's kind of, I can sneak it in and I'm trying to sneak.
You get quite a lot of bang for your buck.
Quite a lot of bang for your buck. And I'm trying to do things like just sprinkle little bits of speed. I mean, Lloyd talks about this and I'm off the back of what he talks about, I'm going to put in another session that, sort of more half marathon specific, but at the minute I'm just throwing in like a lot of our previous guests talked about, like, so just some hill sprints and how hill sprints kind of replicate speed without it being necessarily a particularly hard session, particularly if the hills are kind of about 8 seconds long. So I just throw that in on an easy run. It doesn't seem to sort of, it's not like, oh, I've just done a tough session there, but I guess I'm trying to keep in touch with a little bit of speed that way. But no, all good, mate. How about you?
Yeah, all right. I mean, strength and conditioning has been the focus, just to get myself feeling not a bit more repaired, a bit more sort of a bit stronger, a bit more stable before I start really trying to run further and faster than I have done for a long old while, I would say, really, in a sort of like in a concerted effort. So yeah, I'm just cracking on with the swinging a kettlebell around in the garden, back on the skipping. It's all go, mate. I mean, I had a terrifying conversation with our colleagues in the office, and it was about, they were talking about the pace of running. We're sort of roughly where you're definitely aiming for 90 minutes, aren't you? And then I should probably do the same. And someone reminded me actually what that pace is, which is realistically like 6:50.
Yeah.
Oh, blimey. That was a stark reminder of what we've got to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think probably I'm right in saying this, that like race pace at the start, particularly for things that kind of half marathon and less, it should be a little bit scary.
Yeah.
Because if you just felt good off the bat, it's probably not the pace that you should be aiming for. Do you know what I mean? It should feel kind of ambitious.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, if that's what if you want to challenge yourself, then definitely it needs to have that sort of moment of going, this is not undoable, but also mildly intimidating.
Yeah, mildly intimidating. That's exactly it. Set mildly intimidating goals. That's the message here. Anyway, I mean, Lloyd's got some amazing stuff to talk to about half. So I reckon we should get him on, get the expert on, and hopefully offer people some insights on how to they can run their best 13.12.
Yeah, that's perfect. Let's do that. Guest of the week. Here in the studio. Guest of the week. Sometimes on the phone. Could be an athlete. Could be a physio. Or a complete unknown.
Well, welcome to the Runner's World podcast, Lloyd Kempson. You've been on before a few years ago, but it's great to have you back. So thanks very much for making the time to speak with us.
Well, thanks for having us, guys. It's been, two or three years maybe since I spoke to you guys?
Yeah, it was before the marathon, before London Marathon.
Yeah, me and Leon. You and Leon. Leon Cerrone, yeah. Cool. Time flies.
Well, it's a funny one with this because Ben and I have got a bit of skin in the game here, Lloyd, because we're both kind of we want to talk to you about half marathon training a little bit for our own knowledge, just trying to get some tips off you before we have a go at the big half in September. So we've got an agenda.
I am 100% starting at a very base level, but anyway, we'll get into that. But I think let's talk about your running, Lloyd, before we get into all of that. How did you get into running? Where are you at with running? All those sorts of things.
I started running 20 years ago in August. So I've been doing it, just coming up to, 20 years. Time flies again, you know. It's, I was 7 or 8 years old when I first stepped on a running track. And not a lot has changed over that time. I'm still doing the same sort of things that I was doing then as a kid, just running around, chasing people that are faster than me. And the mindset is similar in a way, thinking that I can still be an Olympian. But as you get older, as you know, lads, you know, things start creaking, other things come into our lives. The pub starts calling on a Friday night, and you know. But yeah, like I've been running all my life. It's all I've ever done, really. And when I suppose it's similar to other hobbies, if you like, or passions. But when you invest all of your energy into one thing, it's kind of like. I always say it to people, like I'm terrible at everything, but running is the one thing that I'm probably less terrible at. So like, if you give me a tennis racket, I'm probably not going to excel at that. Or if you tell me to write a poem, I'm probably going to be terrible at that as well. But with running, I just find that I'm less terrible at that, and I just stuck with it.
Was it when you were seven? Then when you were tight, was that just a sort of like cross country or school athletics or like that sort of stuff?
Yeah, so it started out with cross country because just the time of year that I started. But I kept bugging my PE teacher at primary school to create a cross country club. Eventually, they gave in and we started this lunchtime club. And I think about three people turned up, including me. It just started just running around football pitches, really. And then my sister was already at an athletics club. She's a few years older than me. So I headed down to my local club. And that is one of the things that has changed in the sport in the UK. The club system's changed a whole lot because in them days, I was 8 years old. There wasn't really anyone around that age group there. The youngest may have been 13, 14. So there wasn't like a kids club or anything like that, whereas clubs now have got dedicated sort of coaches and groups that are set up for kids that age because there are so many youngsters now doing track and field and running. So in them days, it was just, turn up to the club, chase the older guys. And I did that for literally 5 or 6 years until I was probably good enough to keep up or old enough to keep up. And then once you're able to keep up, it sort of opens a few more doors to other races and stuff like that. But it was a good time. Yeah, like I always had my mum and dad coming with me to watch races and stuff, and that was always good fun. I wouldn't change it for the world.
So, half marathons. What's your opinion on them? What's your feeling with them? Do you enjoy them? Do you not like them?
I do like the half. I think I like the half. Probably I like it way more than a 10K. I really dislike 10Ks, and I'll probably like them a little bit less than a marathon because a marathon's like, wow, what an achievement. But I think the good thing about the half, when I'm coaching an athlete for it or I'm training for one myself, is that I feel they're quite achievable by doing a lot of elements that you may have already done as a runner if you were training for a 5 or a 10K, say. So the sort of non-negotiable training elements are the same. It's just a few tweaks. So nothing dramatically changes. For example, if you were stepping up to an ultra, it would change quite a lot. Whereas if you're stepping up to a half marathon, like I say, the principles are the same. We just have to kind of change our mindset and change a few ways that we go about things. But I think they're a great race for people to do. And I think that we live in a world now that it's really fashionable to go and smash a marathon before you even try a 5K. And I'm really in the camp of, I'm really old school. I like to go that pathway of, okay, let's do a 5K first, nail the 5K, and then we'll work to our 10, and then we'll do our half. And I think if you do it that way, you can kind of long out your running life a little bit. Whereas if you go and do a marathon straight away, it's like, oh, right, well, I've got to either go up, run 100K, something crazy, or I've got to go down. But now I feel really slow because I've done all this marathon training. So I'm a fan, big fan.
When you talk about the kind of the fundamental elements that make up half marathon training, for you, what are those, the kind of non-negotiable aspects of putting together a half marathon training plan?
The answer to this, I would say, as I said earlier, is similar to any long distance event. These are my non-negotiables. The first one, you've got to work backwards from your race date. So say that's, if listeners are listening now and you can run 5K, you should be able to run a half marathon in about 8 weeks if you can run a 5K. If you can't, then obviously you're going to need a little bit longer. The ideal sort of time frame for me that I would say that I would like to coach an athlete is around 12 to 14 weeks. That's a good amount of time that's going to give you some flexibility for any illness, any days on the plan that you couldn't hit, or any niggles and things like that. But working back from the end date is really important because that's when you can start creating your roadmap. So say, you know, you're doing the big half in September. Well, you may think, okay, well, I've got a wedding on this weekend, so I definitely can't do my long run on that day. So I know I can't train that day, so I need to work back and think, well, where's my longer run going to be? Or there may be some family commitments one weekend, or a specific race that you want to go and try, maybe a 5 or a 10K. You start putting all these pieces of the puzzle by working backwards rather than working forwards. What that's also doing is you're putting yourself into a mindset that you are going to smash this goal, because I'm already working back from it. So I've already achieved it in my own head, and I'm just putting the pieces of the puzzle in that way. So that's my first thing. It's like, work back from your race date. And you, once you do that and put it down on pen and paper or online, you'll start to see trends in, oh, I run this type of run on this day generally most weeks, or I rest on a Friday most weeks. And all of a sudden you're building your roadmap, you're building your plan. The next point would be to incorporate two things: strength and conditioning and recovery days or recovery based sessions. I don't really use the term rest day. I prefer recovery day because, yes, you may be resting, but you still may go for a walk, you still may cross train, you may go for a swim, whatever it may be. That day is for recovery. And I'm really passionate about recovery because from my own mistakes of getting injured and just having setbacks, when I have a recovery day now, I look at it as my best training day. And I try and describe it as, try and make it your best training day. And if you can do that, you'll find that you will work to recover better. The ways to recover better are endless. You know, could be you do 5 minutes of mobility in the morning before you head off to work. You could try and say to your partner, right, we're going to get 30 minutes more sleep on this day because it's my recovery day. However you go about it, nail that day so it becomes your best training day. And then I mentioned strength and conditioning. We'll chat about that in a second when I go on to my top tips. But strength and conditioning, my way of describing that is our infrastructure that is going to enable us to do the training that we need to do to hit our goal, but also enable us to recover better. If we are more conditioned, we will recover faster and our way of recovery will be better.
One of the most interesting bits about the half marathon distance is it's that it really strikes that balance between out and out kind of speed and like endurance, because you kind of, you know, you're crossing over into that longer distance stuff, but you're still trying to go as fast as possible. And it's not quite the endurance element that the marathon's got. How do you sort of build up an athlete to that, striking that balance between being as fast as possible and holding on for those 13.1 miles?
Yeah, I think there needs to be a sort of discussion around what we mean by speed, because I hear the term speed work all the time. And I'm thinking, well, are you really doing speed work, or are you doing a lactate threshold session, or are you doing a half marathon race pace session? Because if you are, I probably wouldn't call that speed work compared to someone that's running for the mile. That's speed. What will you know, realistically, if you're doing the half marathon, however, you know, even if you're silly fast and you're running 70 minutes, you're still out there for an hour and 10 minutes. Or if you're running an hour and a half or 2 hours, do you need any speed for that? You need to be an efficient runner for 2 hours, for 90 minutes. What do we mean by efficient? Well, you need to use your energy accordingly over that length of time. You need to use as much energy as possible for that amount of time. And this brings me on to my first tip, to respect the distance. And I mean that both ways, whether you're stepping up from a shorter distance event or you're coming down from an ultra or a marathon. If you're stepping up from a 5 or 10K, you're going to be running at least double the distance for a half. So you need to respect the fact that you need to create an engine that's going to enable you to work at that level of intensity for however long it's going to take you for the half. On the other side of the coin, if you're stepping down from a longer distance, you need to realize that, well, you need to move faster for a shorter amount of time, and you can't just bank on being strong and being having a really good level of stamina that's going to get me to the end, because you might find that you haven't got there fast enough. So that question is a really good one, because you do need to find that balance in your training that's going to enable you to train the right energy systems, incorporate enough recovery, and get you to the start line conditioned enough to be able to run fast enough for that amount of time. I'd say the sweet spot is a place where you can stand on that start line, confident that you can run the distance. That's really important. And depending on what level you're at during your training, is going to mean that in training, you should be running the race distance at some point, if not further, depending on what level of athlete you are. So you should be able to stand on that start line and be confident to say, I can run 13.1 miles or 21K. Like, I can do that. Then if you're able to during your training, standing on the start line and being able to say, not only can I run 13 miles, but I've done considerable amounts of work at my race pace and faster during training. And that can look different ways, whether it's interval sessions, tempo, threshold runs, whatever it may be. We'll chat about that in a little while. But those two things, if you can say those things on the start line, and to be able to say those things, you should be conditioned. Because if you can say, I can run 13 miles today, well, realistically, you should be conditioned enough to do that. And the second thing is, I can actually run at race pace or faster, meaning that you've done the work in training. If you can get your training so that you can stand on the start line and say those two things, you should be doing the right things, I think.
You mentioned before strength and conditioning, and I think that's great. That's one of the kind of pillars that you train by. It is a confusing subject area, though, because I think that some people get put off by the idea that they've got to do loads of it, or that they need, you know, particular equipment to do it. What can you tell people, Lloyd, who don't have loads of time, perhaps don't even have a gym membership? What kind of strength and conditioning can everyone do when it comes to half marathon training to actually help them deal with the training load and perform better on race day?
Okay, so the first thing is if you're not doing anything's better than nothing. So a lot of runners just aren't doing anything. They will have a plan in place for their S&C. They'll have everything on YouTube and all of that, but they just won't get around to it. It's the first thing we sack off as runners, because it's the thing that's, well, it's not running, is it? And we're, as runners, we, you know, you run more, you get better, don't you? Well, not all the time. So speaking from experience of being that runner that used to run loads and run more to be better, which can happen over a time if you can not get injured and not break down, but chances are you are going to break down and you are going to get injured, which is then going to keep you off running for longer. But my advice is that, no, you don't necessarily need equipment. You can, there's loads of exercises that you could just use your own body. You know, we are gifted with limbs that we can use. You know, we can use our body weight. There are different types of strength training that don't require equipment, whether it's yoga or Pilates or HIIT sessions and things like that. But my piece of advice around S&C is that look at it from an investment perspective. LeBron James invests $1 million a year into his body, and that includes S&C and recovery. Now, I'm not telling everyone to go out there and spend a meal, but what I'm saying is, if you go onto the Gumtree or Amazon and spend £10-20 on one kettlebell, one set of dumbbells, and maybe a TheraBand, all of a sudden you've got enough equipment there, right there, from 10, 15, 20 quid to create a workout that is specific to the event you're training for, specific to the equipment you've got. The last bit we now need to do is make it specific to the time that you've got available. This one's really important. It's all well and good saying, right, I've got half an hour of spare twice a week, but that's useless. Like that's not going to do anything. Let's actually structure this into our week. So when we write out our running sessions for the week and our rest days, put in that 30 minutes of work that you're going to do so that when you get home from work, you know, before I start dinner, I know I've got to quickly smash out 30 minutes workout or 40 minutes workout, however long that session takes you. That needs to keep you accountable. So in terms of what to do in the gym, it has to be specific to the event you're doing. So again, we talk about being conditioned enough to be able to run for 70, 80, 90, 2 hours. We need to be doing sessions that are going to condition our body to be able to do that. The only way of doing that is exposing yourself to weaknesses. So for example, if you are running and you feel like your glutes turn off after 10 kilometers, well, that's clearly a weakness. So you need to be able to ensure that your glutes are firing for 13 miles. What do? Go onto YouTube and find a workout that specifically targets the glute med or the hips or the lower back. Like it really is a jungle that you can get, that you can explore in and find the workout that is specific to you. This is where it's different to running sessions. Running sessions, we're inundated with workouts from yesteryear, 40 years gone by of sessions that we know work scientifically. Strength and conditioning, we have principles that do work, but you can really play around with it and find exercises that, one, work for your weaknesses, but two, you also enjoy. It's got to be enjoyable. You know, we don't just want to be sitting there and doing 5,000 crunches. We want to be doing exercises that expose our weaknesses, but also good fun. So make it fun and make it achievable. And the last point on strength and conditioning, and this is something that my girlfriend's an S&C coach, she hammers me for this. She says, if you get to the end of the training day and you have maybe for me, for example, I may have 30 minutes on the cross trainer to do and then a strength and conditioning session of 45 minutes. Now, at the end of the day, we're all knackered. We all just want to go and sit on the sofa. And if I'm in a place where I'm considering not doing one of those, don't do the cross training. Straight away, I won't do the cross training. I won't do the aerobic activity because the chances are, as runners, we're doing a lot of that already. And I would rather neglect the energy system that I've been working for 20 years and focus in on the strength and conditioning, the area of training that I probably haven't honed in on as much, and the area of training that is going to make me that resilient runner for the half marathon.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
That's good. That's a good tip, I think. Because like you say, it can be a matter of time and feeling like, how am I going to make all these pieces of the puzzle come together? So to have a kind of prioritizing S&C, I think is a good message for runners, because it's not something that we naturally do.
Well, let's use you two as an example. You're both training for the half in September.
Yeah.
You both know you need to nail your S&C, and you probably both are sitting there thinking, oh, do you know what? I hate S&C, or it's the first thing I'm going to sack off. Here's what I would do if I was you two. Once a week,
feel very seen.
Once a week, you two are going to meet up on Zoom, and you're going to do a 30-minute S&C session together.
Oh, Rick, here we go.
Now, yes. Now you're accountable, because you know your mate's turning up. And if you leave him hanging, he's going to have the ump with you. So that makes it more enjoyable. It's a laugh. Do you know what I mean? Initially, it's a little bit awkward and a bit of fun, but you're both nailing it and it's just 30 minutes. It's just 30 minutes. And you might go, oh, Rick, do you know what? We can do this twice a week. We can do this twice a week. Let's get so-and-so involved. Let's make it fun. Let's make it social whilst at the same time hitting the training elements we need to hit.
Well, there's a podcast everyone needs to hear.
I'd watch that.
Me and Rick grunting away as we just try and swing a kettlebell around.
With terrible form, yeah.
I'd watch it.
No, I take the point, though. I think trying to make it fun is a good one, isn't it? Because, like, as you say, that's probably one of the reasons why S&C gets kind of cast aside, is that it can be a bit like, oh, really? You know.
But also, we know what we can do as runners. We know that we can go out and put one foot in front of the other and go and do some running and feel good at the end of it and feel like we're progressing because we've gone and added more miles, as you say. When you're training someone, Lloyd, I mean, this is very sort of like across the board, very difficult to apply to one. But are you, because you talked about running more than 13.1 or more than like the race distance in the build up, is that applicable to all? Is that your method, or is it just like if you think that someone's capable?
No, it's not applicable for all. So depending on what level of athlete you are is going to depend on how far I would tell you to run on or get to your longest long run. If you're a listener and you're listening now and you're working from a place where you've just completed Couch to 5K, for example, or even if your long run at the moment is 6 or 7 miles, I wouldn't say in 8 weeks you need to be working towards 15, 16 miles on the long run, because to do that, you're going to have to crash course it. You know, you're going to have to rush the process. Again, go back to that statement, stand on the start line and be confident you can run 13 miles. What does that mean for you? That may mean that in 8 weeks, I need to work up to 12.5 miles because I know on race day, I can run another half mile. The crowd, you know, the occasion, the fact that it's a race. But some runners that are looking to really, they've got real performance goals of running, you know, super fast times, they need to do the training that's going to enable them to do that. So if I've got a runner that wants to run 73 minutes, well, I need that runner to be running consistently over 90 minutes on his Sunday long run. And a runner at that speed is probably going to be running 13, 14 miles in that time. So it really depends on the type of runner. But again, it has to go back to those principles. Can I do this distance? Am I confident in running this distance? Not just the distance, but at a pace as well. If you're a runner standing on the start line and you know that you've got to run 13 miles at a race pace, you need to be able to confidently say, well, I can run 15, 16, easy pace on a Sunday. Really depends on the runner, and that's why coaching is really beautiful, because it's bespoke to the person that we're dealing with.
You mentioned before, Lloyd, about speed work and how, you know, perhaps it's not the most appropriate term for half marathon pace work. What by that do you think is most of the sort of speed work or kind of quicker running that you prescribe would be tempo type running or shorter intervals? Tell us a little bit how you'd sort of sprinkle that into a training program for a half.
Yeah, so it's easy to get conflicted on speed work, as I spoke about earlier. Don't get me wrong, training for the half, you need to run fast. You need to train fast. You need to incorporate some faster level of running, because what I wouldn't want someone... There's a caveat to this as well. There may be listeners listening and actually saying, I'm not looking to run a time. I just want to finish. So what I'm about to talk about is probably not applicable to you. If you're a runner that you just want to finish the distance, do you need to be doing interval sessions in the week to do that? No, you don't necessarily need to do that. But if you are a runner that wants to run a specific time and you want to physiologically improve and run faster, this is for you. Now, you will have a rough idea of what your race pace is going to be at the start of your training plan, which is 8, 12, 15, 16 weeks, whatever it may be. Consider that you are going to improve in that time. So you may not be in race pace shape today to run that at 13 miles, but over the period of that time, that's the aim, okay? Now, I would say that, again, depending on how many times a person is running per week and depending on the level of athlete they are, is going to depend on how much higher quality running you can do. And there's different ways that you can incorporate higher quality running. You can do interval workouts that are in and around 5K, 10K race pace for 3, 4, 2, 5 minute increments. You can do threshold runs of 15, 20 minutes that are in and around your half marathon race pace, or you may be doing a slower tempo run that could be an hour long. They all are touching on energy systems that are going to benefit your half marathon race pace, But the one type of session that I think is really crucial to becoming, again, more efficient with that energy over that 13 miles is improving your lactate threshold. I think this is really, really important that you can, it's really enjoyable as well to learn how to do this. But these are workouts that are demanding, yes, but if you do them correctly, you are able to recover for your next training day and they won't put you in the bin every time compared to workouts where you're on the track doing intervals or you're smashing out, you know, 90 second reps when you're on your hands and knees at the end of the session. Lactate threshold sessions, which may look like something of 4 times 6 minutes or 10, 12, 15 minutes straight or 2 by 10, 3 by 10 minutes. These are workouts that are more controlled in and around that half marathon race pace, effort or pace. And you're able to get to a point in the session where you are at a point, that lactate threshold, where you're at a point that you're not, you're saying to yourself, if I go faster, if I go harder, I'm probably going to overdo it here. I'm probably going to work a bit too hard, but I know I'm just on the cusp. Once you're at that cusp, that's your lactate threshold. That's where you know, okay, I know, you know when you're at it, okay? And the only way of learning that level and that cusp is by doing, getting it wrong, making mistakes and learning from it. But that is the energy system that is gonna sort of enable you to develop further as a half marathon runner. That's where you're on that brink for 13.1 miles.
That's great, actually. I wasn't aware of the importance of lactate threshold when it comes to the half. So I think that's an interesting one. I can see myself doing 3 times 10 around Crystal Palace Park. I could do a bit of that.
The main thing is I speak about control a lot. Control is really important for any type of training session or run or any element. But for threshold workouts or lactate threshold workouts, it's really important you control them, because you said there that you can do 3 by 10 minutes, which is great. But the key is to not go too fast. You could do 3 by 10 minutes and smash it and be like, wow, running nearly 10K race pace there. But that's not the aim. The aim is we're training the lactate threshold. That's what we're training. And if you get it right, like I say, you can recover from it and go the next day or go 2 days later. If you could keep all of your training controlled and in a controlled environment, you can create a level of consistency. Think of it as stepping stones. You take 3 steps forward, 1 step to the side, 3 steps forward, 1 step to the side. And I use that analogy of training up for 3 weeks and then having an easy week. We're never taking steps backwards. But if you keep it controlled, you're always moving forwards gradually.
When you were doing athletics, are you sort of bringing some principles from there into what you're doing? You know, the short, sharp stuff, is that sort of, is it just very much, you know, the race distance itself dictates what you're aiming for?
Yeah, the race distance will dictate the type of work that I'm doing. But as a long distance runner, and from my philosophy, from the coaches that I've worked with, I will always have a consideration for the aerobic side of training. So a lot of my training, whether I'm training for the 1500 meters or the half marathon, will always have a consideration for aerobic training. So there'll be a lot of low intensity running or training. And when I speak low intensity training is the term, because for me, a lot of that now is on the cross trainer, because I'm older, I need to manage my body a little bit better and I break down a lot faster. But for some people that may just be running or swimming or cycling, whatever it may be. So a lot, the bulk of my training is lower intensity. You know, we've all heard about that 80-20 theory. Generally, that is the philosophy that I've come from. And that 20% or so, probably for me now, is even less than 20%. It's more like 15%. That may be 1 or 2 higher quality days. And that could look like a hard, short, sharp workout on the track on a Tuesday, and then a slower threshold tempo-y run/session later in the week. But earlier in that question, when I was chatting about some runners that are maybe listening that maybe haven't done interval sessions before, have no idea what lactate threshold even means, or are really even interested in doing that right now, but still would like to complete the distance and push themselves, one way of doing that via higher quality is the following. And I think this is a really enjoyable way, and it's a real good confidence boosted session, is that you will have a long run, likely to have a long run in your training week. And every second or third week, what you can do is you can incorporate some higher quality into that run. And that could be in the form of sort of half marathon race pace effort or actual pace. And there's really two ways that I like to do it. You can either do it at the end of a run or you can do it within it. And it really depends on what you enjoy more and what is more specific to what you're aiming for. But the first, for example, could look like 3 weeks out from your half marathon, you may have a 13-mile run. This is it, 13 miles. As soon as I finish this, I know I can do it on race day. Then 2 weeks out, you may have another 13-mile run, but we're going to go 9 miles easy. Then we're going to go 4 miles at half mile from race pace. So there's two challenges here. First one is to make sure that the first 9 miles are controlled and slower. That's a difficult challenge for some people. The second challenge is that, well, now we're already in a fatigue state. I'll run 9 miles. That's difficult for any runner. Now you're asking me to work harder and work at a pace that is something I want to sort of mimic on race day. That is mimicking the environment on race day and making it super specific to the race, whilst also training your body to run at race pace whilst fatigued. That's like a banging session. And you can do that with different distances. You could do 7 miles easy, 3 miles at half marathon race pace, or, you know, play around with the distance as you work your way towards your race. The second way of doing it is, again, half marathon race pace, but incorporating it within the run. So we may run, say you've got a long run that's, say, 90 minutes long at that point in your training plan. You may run 30 minutes easy. So again, you're just nice and chilled, running with your friends or whatever it may be. Then we'll do some half marathon race pace efforts. Now, different to an interval session, we're not going to walk or jog for recovery. We're going to keep it rolling. So we'll do 10 by 2 minutes at half marathon race pace. Sounds doable, right? It's only 2 minutes at half marathon race pace. We're going to take 2 minutes recovery, but we're going to keep the recovery at that easy pace. So we're going to go 2 minutes on at half pace, 2 minutes easy, 10 times. Now, the hard bit is holding back on the 2 minutes on so that you're able to maintain the 2 minutes recovery at easy pace. So that middle section of 10 by 2 on, 2 off is going to be considerably faster on average than that first 30 minutes. Finish off with 20 minutes easy, 90 minutes done. You're going to find that your long run was considerably faster than if you went 90 minutes easy. We've incorporated some good half marathon work there, but also trained your body and your mind to hold back and, again, use your energy efficiently. That's really key. There's two ways to play around with faster running in your long run.
You mentioned, Lloyd, about the 80-20 method. I don't want to go into too much detail on this because it's probably worth its own episode, but as you say, that's kind of 80 roughly in the 80% of your training roughly in the easy zone, 20% in the hard zone. It's a big Google search is 80-20 on low mileage. And I wonder if someone was thinking about doing a half marathon on low mileage, and let's say that's less than 25 miles a week just for this purpose, would you say that the 80-20 method holds in a low mileage world? Or actually, if you're going to do a lot less running, does more of that need to be quality?
I would say keep it specific to the goal. So if your goal is, and I'm not diverting this question because it's a great question, but when we do talk about lower mileage, it can make 80-20 more difficult, because if we're training for a half marathon and you're running 25 miles a week, 20% of that high intensity is not a massive amount of running. So we need to think, what is most specific to my race and the goal that I want to achieve? So 25 miles, you're probably running 3/4 runs a week. For me, I would say that the most specific thing is going to be your long run. That's going to be the most specific thing to your environment. And again, we have to stand on the start line, know that we can complete the distance. So ensure that that long run is your holy grail of the week. Everything around that facilitates that you nail that long run every week. So that could mean that you do a short workout at the start of the week, which works on your lactate threshold, or maybe even a little bit faster running. You have a short 30-minute run on a Thursday. You jump on the cross trainer on a Saturday, which is a nice, easy aerobic 30 minutes. And then we nail a long run of 9-10 miles on the Sunday, and we're building that distance week on week. You are still incorporating that 80-20 theory because you've got your lower intense work, but you're also keeping it specific to the goal that you're training for by ensuring that you're doing your higher work in the start of the week and keeping your long run at the end of the week. And if you do work to lower miles, your long run is going to be the bulk of that. But ultimately, if you control your long run, it can be low intense. You can have an easy long run. You know, it's demanding because you're out there for a long time. But if you keep the pace slow, you can keep that at low intensity, and it can make up some of that 80. And I mentioned about cross training. Cross training can be a real good sort of sandwich filler for someone that is lower mileage. I've had runners that have run super fast times over half a marathons off seriously low mileage. And if some people look at the mileage that are running, it's almost like, how the hell did they manage that? Well, two things. One, we had a chat about the goal they wanted to achieve. And realistically, if you've got this goal, this is how much you're probably going to need to do. Is that achievable? Yes or no? No. Okay. Are you able to cross train and supplement some of that, some of those running miles? Yes. Okay. Well, what does that look like? Does it mean that we go easy on the cross trainer? Do we do some workouts on the cross trainer? You know, ultimately you can still, you can replicate running in different ways, but it's got to be unique to you and your goal. And it's really important that you don't get caught into and sucked into a mindset and a place where it's like, right, I want to run 90 minutes for the half marathon. Okay, Google, how do I run a 90-minute half marathon? These people are running five times a week with two hard sessions. I need to do that. Well, no, you don't. You might not need to do that. You know, there's more than one way to peel an onion.
Yeah, great advice. Yeah.
Lloyd, if anyone wants to find out more about your coaching and all that sort of stuff, where should they head to?
Just Google Team Project Run and click the top one.
So easy.
Easy as that. Lloyd, thanks so much for joining us on the podcast, chatting us through half marathon training, and some great advice there.
Yeah, no worries, gents. Thanks so much for having me, and best of luck September.
So that brings us to the end of this week's Run As Well podcast. Thanks very much to our guest, Lloyd Kempson, and to you, of course, for listening.
You can subscribe to Run As Well magazine by going on the internet and Googling Run As Well magazine UK subscription. You should do that. 12 issues a year of running goodness delivered straight to your front door. Head over to runaswell.com/UK for all your running needs, really. Just pretty much everything that you'd ever want to know about. Training, nutrition, gear, the latest bits and bobs, all that sort of stuff. That's all there on the internet. And then you should subscribe to this podcast, which you probably do already, hopefully. And yeah, tell everyone else who's starting to run that they should listen to this podcast too. It's probably a good thing to do, isn't it? Yeah, that's it. All right, so you'll hear from us again next week. Bye-bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.